Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah!
Good. Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me now?
I can't hear you. Sounds like your phone is breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
What? 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 What?
Can you hear me now?
I said, sometimes I feel like I'm all alone in this world and I have no one, sir.
Good.
Well, good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. Well, the Bible tells us in John 10, verses 2 through 5, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. No, I'm not doing a commercial for Verizon this morning. But I thought that video clip captures, in a funny way, how I feel a lot of times. Sometimes when I pray, I feel like the Verizon guy. Sometimes when I'm praying, I feel like God's going, what? What? He can't hear me. And sometimes when I pray, it feels like, see, which one did I do first? Let's see. I feel like I'm the Verizon guy. Sometimes it feels like God is the Verizon guy. Or God is the God guy saying what? I did that already. I'm confused this morning. Y'all make me nervous. Let me start over. Sometimes when I pray, I feel like I'm the Verizon guy. I pray and God is going, what? What? You know, sometimes when I pray, and maybe you feel the same way, sometimes when you're praying, the signal seems awful fuzzy. The signal seems scratchy. The signal just doesn't seem to be going through it, and God seems to be going, what? What? And then sometimes I feel like I'm on the other end of the spectrum when I know God is speaking to me. When I know God is saying something to me. God is trying to tell me something, and I know he's saying something, but I can't hear him. I'm trying to understand, but the signal is scratchy. I can't quite understand what he's telling me. Have you ever felt like that when you prayed? You can be honest. Close your eyes so nobody sees. Have you ever felt like that when you prayed? Ah, now we're honest when nobody's looking. Very good. Have you ever wondered why that is? I mean, if God is God, why can't he make his voice nice and clear? Doesn't that make sense? God is all powerful. God created us. God knows how he works. God controls the universe. So how comes the signal comes through scratchy sometimes? Do you know that that's an age-old problem? It is. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. That's in the Old Testament, Dwayne. Isaiah chapter 58, and here God is telling the prophet Isaiah to go to his people, and he's telling, saying, shout it aloud, don't hold back, lay the whole load on this people, because he said, declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. And this is where I want to pick up, Isaiah 58, verses 2 and the beginning of verse 3. It says this, chapter 58, verse 2, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions, and they seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Does that sound familiar? Does that feel familiar? That's often how I feel. Why do I even bother? Why do I bother fasting and praying and all I get is a what? Why do I bother? And that's what they're saying here. They're asking God, they're saying, you know, why has He forsaken us? Why, day after day, we seek You out. Day after day, we try and come near You. We ask You for just decisions. We ask You for this. We ask You for that. And You have not noticed. That's how my life feels at times. I can pray and I can pray and I can pray, and I'm sure you can too by the raising of your hands, that you can pray. You can ask God, you want this and you want that, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Well, Isaiah goes on then and to tell us why their prayers were not being answered. Verses, the end of verse 3 to verse 5, it says, and I'm just going to read verse 3 again. It says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves? Why are we bothered fasting and praying and humbling ourselves this way? Because in their day, fasting was a humbling experience. They put sackcloth on and they put ashes on. I mean, it was humiliating. And they're saying, why have you not noticed? But he goes on to say, he says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends, and I would like to liken this word fasting as a way of your, as your life, as the way you live. I think it's very fitting. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot live as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. The Bible says you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. I would like to insert live there. You cannot live as you do today and expect God to hear you. Is this the kind of life I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is this the kind of life I want? Is this the kind of life I require from you? One day or one 10-minute segment a day to humble yourself and kneel down and beseech my face, seek for my face. Is that what I want? Only a day to humble, for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for laying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Jump over to 59, verses 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. See, God is able. I ask why God can't hear if He created everything. God is able, says His ear is not too dull to hear. But, verse 2 says, your iniquities, or if you go back to the original language, means your wrong living has separated you from God. Now you tell me why the signal doesn't go through. Don't tell me I have to go through the whole thing again. You tell me why God's not hearing my prayers. Shall we run the video again, Jeremy? Why is God not hearing my prayers? Could be because of sin. But I detect that not necessarily. Someone else want to take a stab at it? Signal's not going through. Too much noise. Wow. Yes. But your wrong living, your iniquities, your wrong living, your wickedness has separated us from God. You might say, well, then that's just the Old Testament. He was talking to the Israelites. Put your finger here, because we're going to come back to it. Flip over to the New Testament then. James. Chapter 4. Verses 2 to 6. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, and you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you do not ask God. But you say, well, we do ask God. Okay. But when you ask, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred with God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit has caused us to live? Do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is what the Scripture says. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, I should have three hands. Dear people, the answer to our problem of the poor signal is right here. You know, I found a little clip here. I thought it was pretty neat. It said, a man was having difficulty communicating with his wife and concluded that she was becoming hard of hearing. So he decided to conduct a test without her knowing about it. One evening, he sat in a chair on the far side of the room. Her back was to him, and she could not see him. Very quietly, he whispered, "Can you hear me?" There was no response. Moving a little closer, he asked again, "Can you hear me now?" Still no reply. Quietly, he edged just a little closer, and he whispered the same words, but still no answer. Finally, he moved right behind her chair and said, "Can you hear me now?" To his surprise and chagrin, she responded with irritation in her voice, "For the fourth time, yes." You see, the hearing problem might not be with God. The hearing problem probably isn't God's problem. The hearing problem is not with God not speaking to us, but it's our problem of not hearing Him and not listening. Here in James, we find exactly the reason we don't hear from God. We ask God for things, but the Bible tells us we ask with wrong motives. See, we want God to bless us, not so we can bless other things, but so we can buy a newer boat. Not so we can feed some poor kids in Africa, but so we can upgrade our house. Not so we can help send the signal of the gospel into Muslim countries, but so that we can take a better vacation. See, the Bible tells us that we do it for our own pleasures. See, that's why God doesn't answer us. Or maybe it's, He calls us adulterous people. Now, somebody that's an adulterer is somebody that's unfaithful. Oh, we say we're God's people. But we've become friends with the world. We've gone whoring after somebody else. But we still want God to be the big sugar daddy to give us what we want. It says there in James, we've become friends with the world. And he says, do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit that He put inside of us envies intensely? See, God's a jealous God. God doesn't want anybody, don't want us to go after anybody else. God wants us for His own. But we think we can have it both ways. How then, people? Somebody tell me, how, if this is true of us, if we ask God for things for our own pleasure, we have wrong motives, we're unfaithful to God, we've become friends with the world. Somebody tell me, if that is true of us, if that is true of me, how can we expect a clear signal? How can we expect a clear signal if we've got all this other noise, somebody said, all this other things pulling the signal away from us? Is it any wonder that we don't have a clear signal? So what's the answer? How can we clear the signal up between us and God? How can we get a clear channel? What is the answer? Flip back if you have your finger now. I told you to keep your finger there, so don't blame me. Flip back to Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 7. keep your finger in James. I'm going back there again. Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 7, says, is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Or is not this the kind of, this is the kind, God is saying, this is the kind of fast I have chosen. Or this is the kind of life I have chosen, he's telling us. To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? Is it not to provide for the poor wanderer shelter? When you see the naked, is it not to clothe him? And is it not to turn away from your own flesh? Now, I think that the message says it real well. And the message is just a paraphrase, so keep that in mind. Is this the kind of fast day I'm after? To break the chains of I get that wrong every time. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debt. What I'm interested in is seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad people, being available to your own families. Flip back to James 4 again. 7 to 10. Back here in Isaiah, they were complaining about God not listening to them. And he's telling them what their problem is. And he's telling them how to clear it up. Get your life right, he's telling us. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail, change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. He's going to hear you. Back to Isaiah, verse 8. Then your light will shine. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will... Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Amazing. If we do what God asks us to, what's that do for us? Makes things clear. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Doesn't sound fuzzy at all, does it? If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Your lights will become like the new day. The Lord will guide you always, and on and on and on about how the Lord's going to bless you, how the Lord's going to hear you, and how he can bless you if you do what he asks. But people, you may be thinking, no, that's not me. My life is right. My life is right. I've got it together. There's nothing between me and God. But you know what? I still get this fuzzy signal. Why is that? Well, let me give you two reasons why that is that I can find in the Bible. I challenge you to go read the Bible and see if you can find more. There's two reasons for that. Number one, there's some type of wrong living. Something wrong with your life. Something wrong in your life. Or number two, you're not one of God's sheep. Ouch. Either we're not Christians, because that's why we're getting a fuzzy signal, because God doesn't speak to non-Christians except get right. Or two, there's something in our life. And here's the reason I say that. John, well, you can read it. The man who enters the gate of the shepherd, the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep do what? They listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep. by name. And he leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Friends, if we are God's sheep, and if we have dealt with the wrong living in our lives, we will hear him when he speaks. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." That's pretty clear in my mind. My sheep, if we're his sheep, know my voice, I know them and they follow me. So where's the fuzzy connection in our lives? I don't know. Did you ever think about how it would be to hear God calling your name? Maybe you've had an experience with that. But John there says he calls his own sheep by name. Have you ever heard God calling your name? Have you ever heard Jesse, Wendell, Jason, Dwight? Have you ever heard that? Maybe there's too much noise where we can't hear. I had an experience not long ago. Well, I was praying and I was confessing a sin in my life to God. And all of a sudden, it wasn't out loud, but it was just as real as out loud. It was like, "Elvin, forgiveness is granted." It was real. It was like he spoke it. That's what he's talking about. He calls his own sheep by name. Wow, to hear the shepherd calling your voice or calling your name with his own voice. I want you to close your eyes for a little bit. How long has it been since you have heard the voice of the shepherd? How long has it been? Close your eyes. How long has it been since you've heard the voice of the shepherd? How long has it been since you heard him call your name? Has it been a day? A couple of days? Has it been a week? A couple of weeks? Months? Years? How long? Never? I'm wondering this morning, would you like to clear out that channel between you and God? Maybe get rid of the static. What would it take? As you got your eyes closed and think about, when's the last time you heard? What would it take? What is between you and God that keeps that channel fuzzy? While your eyes are still closed, listen to what the Bible says. Daniel 9, 20 to 22 says, "While I was speaking," this is Daniel talking, says, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making requests to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen earlier in a vision, came to me in a swift flight about time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding.'" See, that could be you. It could be Joel saying, "As I was praying and confessing my sin and my people," that God comes to him and says, "Joel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding." Clear channel. Or Daniel 10:12 says, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to in response to them.'" James 4:7-10 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God." See, if the channel is not clear, it's not God's fault. It says, come near to God. And he will come. Then he's going to move closer to you. It says, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail over what's wrong in your life. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy and your gloom, and humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." You can open your eyes now. If you are a child of God this morning, and the signal is not clear between you and heaven, I think there are six areas that these scriptures that I just read would touch on that need to be taken care of. Six areas of your life that you need to examine, that we need to examine, myself included. One is obviously confess your sin. Daniel said, as he was praying and confessing his sins, after he did that, then the Lord came and gave him insight and understanding. Number two, grieve over your wrong living. Sin is awful in the sight of God. If we could see ourselves the way God sees us, I think we would be on the floor, face down, wailing and crying. Number three, humble yourself. That's not easy. We're a proud people. Humble yourselves, ourselves. Resist the devil. The devil's going to come. Put up a fight. The Bible says he has to leave. Gain understanding. We want so much the God to speak to us, but yet, day after day, our Bible lays on the shelf. How do we expect God to talk to us if our Bible's here and we don't open it? It's not going to happen, people. Number six, submit yourself to God. I want to close with a story. I've been reading this book, They Smell Like Sheep. My friend Roy tells a fascinating story about a trip to Palestine some years back. One afternoon, he stood on a ridge overlooking a long, narrow gorge. Below him, the gorge opened up out into rolling, grass-covered pasture lands. A single trail meandered down the length of the gorge floor. Then it branched out into dozens of trails. One trail coming down, then it branched out into dozens of trails as it reached the grasslands. A couple of shepherds strolled down the gorge trail, chatting with one another, followed by a long, winding river of sheep. At the forks of the trail, the shepherds shook hands, and they separated, each taking a different path. As they headed out into the grasslands, Roy recounted the fascinating sight that followed. As the shepherds headed their separate ways, the mass of sheep streaming behind them automatically divided into smaller flocks, each flock stringing down the branch trail behind its appropriate shepherd. When the various shepherds and their flocks were distanced from each other by a few hundred yards, each shepherd stopped and turned around to scan his own sheep. Noting that some strays had been left behind and were wandering in confusion among the rocks and the brush, then one of the shepherds cupped his hands around his mouth and called in a strange, piercing cry, "Ki-yi-yi-yi-yi!" At this shout, a couple of stray lambs perked up their ears and bounded towards the voice. Then the second shepherd tilted back his head and called with a distinctly different sound, "Yip, yip, yip, yo!" A few more strays hurried straight towards him. Then another called his strays with a shrill, "Hoot, hoot, hoot!" Each shepherd in turn called. Each of the strays, hearing a familiar voice, knew exactly which shepherd he should run to. In fact, my friend Roy marveled, none of the wandering sheep seemed to notice any voice but the voice of his own shepherd. People, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices that sound a lot like the shepherd's voice, but they're different. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? Would you stand? I'd like to sing just two short songs. Stand with me, please. As we sing these songs, let the word of God just sink down into your heart. The first song will be Still and Know That I Am God. Mark, would you lead those?
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am
Is that your desire this morning, to know God more? I want to do something just a little bit different this morning to end. So humor me and listen to my instructions carefully. I want the ladies to all move to this side and the men all to this side. I want you to get with somebody beside you. If you're in pairs, find somebody close to you. And I want you to ask each other a couple of questions. Now, put the questions up here as soon as I can. There. First of all, I want you to ask each other, do you have trouble hearing the shepherd's voice? And then, which of these six areas in your life that need to be cleaned up, the 1 to 6? Talk about them to each other privately. And then after you've done, talk to each other, then I want you to pray for each other. Take 5, 10 minutes, however long it takes. Have at it. Most of what I hear is idle chatter now. No, I didn't mean that. But I hope that had meaning for you. Did my heart good just to hear everybody talking and speaking life to each other. You know, we can talk so much to each other about things that aren't going to matter when we walk through that door. We need to start talking to each other about things that matter, things that help us clear up the communication between us and God, because that's one of the ways that God speaks through to us, is through other people. And hopefully next week, that's kind of the way I'm looking to go, how God then speaks to us, the different ways that God speaks to us. So would you stand with me for dismissal? God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word and what's in it, the directions, the instructions for life you have given us. Thank you that you want to communicate with us. You really want to, God. But so often we are so entangled with the affairs of this world that we just can't hear you. So God, this morning we want to start clearing those things out. And we ask you to, as we go through this day and this next week, to just reach down and put your finger on each of our lives and point out what it is, even if it wasn't revealed here this morning, but God, what it is in our life that we need to clear out so we can hear from you. Bless each one abundantly for being here this week. Would you keep your hand of protection on us? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's sing a song of thanksgiving yet, that chorus, thank you, Lord.